Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk some reality TV with you on robizzowebsite.com. Today, we've got a little different podcast for you, something that is not Big Brother or Survivor related. It's something different. We're going to be talking about a show that you need to be watching, something that's different that you probably are not watching right now, that you need to be watching. And there was a show, there was a podcast like this on the regular Rob is a Podcast feed about a month ago. It was in the summer. Miles Nye came on Rob is a Podcast, and he was talking about this show called The Genius. And he was telling Rob Cesternino why he should watch The Genius and why The Genius is such a good show. And the way I view The Genius is Big Brother and Survivor, they're kind of in the middle of the, you know, they're of the Venn diagram of people that watch Rob as a Podcast, way over on the right for people who are very intellectual, very bright and intelligent, who love strategy and those sorts of things. They love The Genius. And for people all the way who want to go in the complete opposite direction of The Genius, all the way out on the left, complete nonsense. They don't care about strategy. They just want pure drama, pure good TV, gold, those sorts of things. They tune into the TLC show, 90 Day Fiancé, and I brought in a very special guest today to talk with me about this show and why you should be watching it, and that's my good friend, the great Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so great. I'm so excited to talk about this show. If you're not, like, I didn't watch it before until you said, like, hey, you should watch the show, and now I'm like, 100% obsessed with it. I deep dive all these people. It's amazing. It's so good. You need to be watching it, and we're going to tell you why.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm really excited, Haley. I've been wanting to do this podcast for so long. I have been such a big fan of this show, 90 Day Fiancé, and not a lot of, it's not for everybody. It's one of those shows that if you don't like lots of drama and those sorts of things and nonsense, you're not going to really enjoy, you might not enjoy it that much, but it's such a train wreck of a show that you just cannot turn away. And I understand if you don't want to watch it. It's one of those TLC shows. TLC is...
Making a mistake.
Yeah. But yeah, you are. And TLC
stop
is...
Stop pretending you're better than us.
Yeah, seriously, stop pretending. Because TLC, yes, they have some shows that are controversial. They have shows like, My Big Fat Life, or Sister Wives, or 19 Kids and Counting, which is no longer on the air for a few various reasons. But because of some controversy and stuff. But this show is not like those shows. This show is like, yes, it's messed up, but it's actually, it's so fun to watch. It's crazy. It's so entertaining. And it's just the dynamic of what is happening with this show is unbelievable. I did not actually realize there are people like this in real life. I'm excited for the five of you that are still listening to this podcast that are interested in watching this show, because it's so much fun and you need to check it out. So, Haley, let's get into this show. Let's talk about 90 Day Fiancé. For those people listening to this podcast, explain, what is 90 Day Fiancé?
So on 90 Day Fiancé, we follow a range of couples. I think it's always six couples. One person is from America, the other is not American. So they come from all over the world. They met in all different circumstances. And of course, they're in love. And I'll put the in love in air quotes for some of these couples, because I don't buy it totally for everyone involved. So in the States, there's a visa. It's called the fiancé visa. It's also more technically the K-1 visa. So as soon as the non-American steps foot in the country, they have 90 days to marry their American counterpart. So this show follows the journey of those six couples. So this first episode, it really followed the pre-steps of these couples, following their story before they came to America. And I think next week we're going to start when they're in America, and then we're really counting down the time from the moment they step into the country and when they get married. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
for us, not for them.
Yeah, definitely more fun for us than for the couples that are on this show. But yeah, it's just such a cool concept, and I highly recommend you check this show out. It's so much fun. It's sort of like, and Haley, for you haven't gone back and watched the other seasons yet, have you?
I have not, but okay. I probably will.
Yeah, it's sort of like, and I the way that the seasons went, in my opinion, it's sort of like if you watch Big Brother Canada, it's kind of like Big Brother Canada 1 and Big Brother Canada 2. 90 Day Fiancé 1 was really good. It was a very solid season. It was awesome, very entertaining. But 90 Day Fiancé season 2 was just, it just blew everything out of the water. It is such an incredible TV show. And honestly, I don't know if season 3 is going to be able to top it. It's probably going to struggle to do so. But you have to check out season 2 if you have not already. There's some crazy couples on that show. There was a couple. There was this guy, this woman from
the guy from Tunisia, right?
Mohammed. Yes, exactly. Mohammed. Haley is the greatest reality TV show villain I have ever seen. He's the greatest villain of all time. It's amazing. And when he starts out on the show, it's this guy, and Mohammed is this man from Tunisia.
He's 27.
He's 27 years old, and he moves to America with this K-1 visa to potentially marry a 43-year-old woman from Norwalk, Ohio. And this 43-year-old woman her name is Danielle. I feel very sorry for her. She has four kids, actually. She's had a rough life. She does not look like she's 43. She looks like she's in her 50s. And let's just say she outkicked her coverage quite a bit with Mohammed. So it's watching the whole season of Mohammed trying to convince the audience and Danielle's family that he actually is in love
with himself.
Yes, and himself, that he's in love with her. It's just dynamite television, and it's just so fun to watch. So I highly recommend you check out, if you're not checking, check out this season first. It's airing live right now on TLC every Sunday, I believe at 9 p.m. So if you want to check that out, 9 p.m. And 8 p.m. Central, definitely check this show out on TLC every Sunday. It's a really good one. But if you want to see, if you like this and you enjoy this show right off the bat, highly, highly, highly recommend you go watch season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé, because it's just incredible and it's amazing. But yeah, basically Haley laid it out for you. That is the concept of this show. And it's crazy, Haley. This is nuts. There are people out there in the world that go to, I don't know where they meet these. Well, some of these people, and we'll find out when we get into these couples here, when we talk about them, some of these people go to these foreign countries. They meet people for a few days. They propose, and then all of a sudden they come back to America with them, and then they have 90 days to get married. Haley, could you imagine getting married to anybody in 90 days, let alone somebody who is not from the same country as you and probably struggles to speak the same language as you?
I dated my boyfriend for at least 4 months before, like, I was publicly okay with calling him my boyfriend. Never mind marrying someone in less amount of time. It's like The Bachelor. You know, you watch this thing and you're like, how does this even happen? And it's because these relationships have just, you know, are on such a fast forward. And you're like, okay, like, I don't think you know what you're getting into. And you watch this show from home being like, are you crazy?
Yeah,
but they are. So yes,
they are. And yeah. And if you're a fan of The Bachelor, I feel like you would probably really like this show.
Probably.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's a lot of similarities. It's the same type of audience that it appeals to. And it's just, I think that the couples, it's interesting because, yeah, on The Bachelor, they have accelerated relationships. They have, but the thing is these people, these women and these guys that are with The Bachelor or The Bachelorette that are, quote unquote, dating him or her, they are kind of sequestered from society a little bit. They're with that person all the time, but they're going on these extravagant dates. They're doing these really fun and cool things, and it's awesome. Whereas on this show, it's sort of as if The Bachelor didn't have those things, and it was just like no
but
fancy
dates. But they're
still
sequestered. Like these people coming from the other countries, they cannot work on these visas.
No, they can't. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And so they come to these countries knowing absolutely no one except the person they are engaged to. It's absurd. They have to just meld into this other person's life and just accept it. And it's crazy. I couldn't imagine ever doing this.
No, yeah, it's completely insane.
And I'm not judging yet these people for doing it, but it's just like it's the logistics and just the emotional toll it would take on having to be with this person's family all the time, like not having your own friends and not having a way to make friends through work, or, you know, You don't know the local yoga studio to go hang out at. You don't know anything. You barely know the language half the time.
No, yeah, you can't call Vitas Bishkauskas and be like, "Hey, Vitas, let's go to yoga." You can't do any of that. It's nothing. No, you know nothing, and
it's terrifying.
At least on the it is, and at least on the Bachelor, you have friends, your people that are all dating the Bachelor, the Bachelorette. You have your friends, and again, you're going on hot air balloon rides.
You're traveling. You're doing stuff.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we're in a small town in Pennsylvania. I'm going
to
go work.
Welcome to Idaho.
Yeah, it's like.
Have you been to Idaho? I have. And it's pretty desolate.
Like, yeah, so sorry to anybody from Idaho that's listening to this podcast. And there's only 5 people listening, I think, to this one. So I think we're safe, Haley. But yeah, I've been through Idaho once in my life. It was very brief. And yeah, it was I don't really plan on going back there anytime soon. It was like, you know, seems like nice enough people. But yeah, it's kind of meh. So especially if you're in a foreign country, I don't think that's probably not the place to be. Yeah, let's get into these couples. So let's talk about this. So Haley laid out for you guys earlier, there's 6 couples that are on this show. And for the premiere episode, which aired last Sunday, we only got to see the first 4 couples. They didn't have enough time to show. It's only an hour long show, so there wasn't enough time to show all 6 of them. This next week, we'll probably see the other 2. But let's jump into the 4 different couples that we saw, Haley. And the first couple that we saw was Lauren and Alexi. Tell us a little bit about Lauren.
So Lauren is this, you know, cool city slicker. She's living in New York City. She's energetic. She's bubbly. She's probably someone I would hang out with. She's a lot to handle, but I kind of like her a lot. She's also Jewish, and that is an important part of the storyline because she went on a birthright trip. And I've been obsessed with birthright for like so long, and it's because I'm not Jewish. So Jewish people get a chance to have a free trip to Israel for 10 days. And so they travel around the country. And a lot of the time with these trips, there's Israeli soldiers and Israeli, you know, medical guides on this trip for safety. So what's her name again? Lauren. So Lauren met this guy, Alexi, on her birthright trip. I think he was the medical person on her trip. And they fell in love pretty immediately. They're pretty close in age. She's 26 and he's 27 or 28. And he's also a total babe, like an absolute just rocket.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude, Alexi. He's what, 6'5" probably.
Oh my god, and just like chiseled as hell. He is beautiful. Like, she's gorgeous.
She is too. Yeah, she. I mean, I
think this is a very beautiful couple.
Yeah, I think of all of the couples on this show, I think collectively Lauren and Alexi, or Lalexi, whatever you want to call them, they are definitely the most attractive couple on this show.
Evenly matched, probably.
Yeah, I would say so for sure, because I felt the exact same way about Lauren. When I first saw her, I was like, oh my goodness, whoa. And they were the first couple, so I was like, oh wow, this is going to be a very attractive season. And and then we kind of moved on to a few of these other couples, and maybe not so much with everybody, which it's okay. Not everybody's looks like a model. I mean, I'm one to talk, but a very, very attractive duo with Lauren and Alexi. She says she has no filter. Her parents spoiled her growing up, and they still do, Haley. And she says she loves shopping more than she loves her fiance.
That's fair.
I think for some people, I think that's fair. And she said, quote, when I first saw Alexi, it wasn't love at first sight. It was, I'm going to hook up with you at first sight.
Again, fair. If you looked at him too, you would understand the sentiment.
Is this a good way to start off a relationship, Haley? Is not oh, love at first sight, but I'm gonna hook up with you at first sight?
I think that's just like a fair reaction. Like, love at first sight's a little you know, fairy tale-ish, where hook up at first sight, like, that's real life. And it's pretty good if you want to hook up with your future husband at first sight.
Yeah,
keeps things interesting along the line.
Yeah, and I guess I have like a good, you got a good story to tell nonetheless otherwise. But yeah, no, it's I think that these guys, of all the couples, I think that this pair, because of, and Lauren is very dramatic.
She's an emotional gal.
I can see why she got cast on the show, because of her looks and because she's quite a handful.
Going to cry.
Yes, she's going to cry. But I do think that of all the couples, I think this is one that has a really good shot of working out, because of the fact that they have this connection of how they met. I think that that's automatically, you're going to have a bond just based on meeting in that fashion. And I think that, yeah, I honestly think the fact that they're just both really attract on both ends, they're really attracted to each other, because we'll get into some of these couples a little bit later that I don't know if we can say the same thing. So, yeah. And just how Lauren was talking about him, she was like, she's madly in love with this dude. And she said, another point, she said, quote, what he did right away, what he did totally won me over. Now, she didn't say what he did on that trip, Haley, but I imagine whatever he did, romantically or in bed or whatever, it seems to have really, it has really won Lauren
over.
Yeah, she's in. She's fully into this thing. So I'm excited to see where this one goes, and we'll touch upon and later in the episode. What we're going to do is we'll introduce each of these couples to you, and then just as the show did on the premiere, and then we'll get into sort of what happened on the episode and what the couples did and where we think things are going from here. But just early analysis, we'll do this with all the couples. Haley, if you're going to predict are Lauren and Alexi going to last, or are they not going to last? What do you think?
I have my thumbs up on them.
Thumbs up. Okay, so thumbs up on Lauren and Alexi. We think they've got a good shot to last. I agree with you. I'll give them the thumbs up. I think that there's definitely a good foundation there. Now, the second couple is a very interesting couple. We have Mark. He's a business owner who rents pianos from Baltimore, Maryland. And we have Nikki, who is from the Philippines. Haley, tell us about Mark.
This is just like a horrifying situation.
It really is. Honestly, this is why. And for those of you at home who have not seen the episode, this is why you need to watch this show, because of couples like
every season has this couple. This is like the outrageously mismatched. And like we said with Lauren and Alexi, they are on the same, you know, level of hotness and age and, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Like I feel like
whatever we said about Lauren and Alexi, we're going to say the opposite for this couple. He is 58 years old. He is a tiny little man. And she is this hottie with a body who's 19 from the Philippines. She is literally younger than his youngest daughter by 3 years.
That is crazy. Mark, yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, this is why
they met on OkCupid and they fell in love. They quotes fell in love. And like another really just like totally effed up part of this situation. His first wife is from the exact same town in the Philippines that Nikki's from. And so this woman was also, they're probably closer in age then, but she was young and she was from the Philippines. They kind of met in a similar way, probably not with the internet because, you know, wasn't around like that then. But he brought her over. They had a couple kids and then she decided she didn't want to do this anymore and peaced out.
Yeah. And it was really interesting how that they talked about this on the show, because, yeah, Mark, from his perspective, he said, yeah, you know, 21 years ago, I brought my wife over on a K-1 visa. So if we think 21 years ago,
Nikki wasn't alive then.
Yeah. So Nikki. Nikki wasn't even born yet.
She
wasn't conceived yet. And okay, so right now Mark is approximately 40 years older than Nikki. So 21 years ago. So he would have probably been 38. And he probably did a similar thing. His wife was probably about 19. So again, there was probably about like a 20-year age gap. Now there's a 40-year age gap with his new fiance. So that we'll see how that works out. But yeah, they just talked about, he just said, oh yeah, you know, we had four kids. And he just said, but she changed radically. And she didn't know that, or she thought that if I didn't buy her things and I didn't spend money on her, that it meant that I didn't love her. So she just left me and I had to raise 4 kids in diapers. And oh, it was so hard. But Haley, yikes. We never got to really, we got to see, and we'll talk about it later in the episode, we got to meet Mark's youngest daughter, who I want to go to the U.S. on a K-1 visa with her. I thought she was very cute.
Beautiful.
She's very cute.
And she seems sane, unlike her father.
Yes, and very rational. But we never got to hear from the other 3 kids and their pictures.
I don't think we're going to.
No, and I don't think we're going to, because like in all of their pictures, their faces were blurred out. Like I don't think they want anything to do with Mark. So I don't know if they just don't support him on this show, or if they don't like him, or what the deal is. But yeah, it's really interesting. And did you also catch too this interesting thing here, Haley? Apparently, so Mark is a 58-year-old man. He wakes up every morning. He said this. This is what he said verbatim. He said, "I wake up I wake up every morning. I look into the mirror and I say, 'You're a specimen.'" He said he says that every single morning. He looks in the mirror and he kind of reminds me of Richard Simmons. If Richard Simmons was straight, does that kind of work for you? That comparison?
Him as a human doesn't work for me. It's not a guy I would want to bone at 19. but yeah, Richard Simmons comparison, definitely see that.
Yeah, because of the age and
like appearance and just stature.
Yeah, like that's how he's built, kind
of. Like I'm picturing as like a little velociraptor almost, and I feel like that's not really like a fair thing, but like that's just how I picture him, like walking around with his little arms up. And
yeah, maybe Mark will get an, after the show and his stardom, Mark will get an invite to be in Jurassic World 2.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So yeah, this is just it's Haley, this is insane. This is nuts. There's a guy who is how is this happening? I want to
throw up.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, this is why I think some people are turned off by this show, is because they say, oh my God.
And it's like exploiting this creepy relationship.
Yeah, and it's hard to watch at first. Now, for me, I'm just a very messed up person and I can watch it no problem. But I can see why people would not want to watch this show for this. But trust me, it's not.
But still watch it.
Yeah, still watch it, because in this episode, you don't really see too much of them interacting, Mark and Nikki. It's more so just them talking about the relationship. Mark talking about the relationship. So I would definitely check this one out and just see this, because this is must-see TV. He says, and he talks about, and it's very interesting, and you brought this up, that he said that, you know, he proposed to Nikki. She's from the exact same town, Cebu, in the Philippines, as his ex-wife. And 2 days, he said, 2 days after he met Nikki, so they met on OkCupid or whatever website, and they were messaging online. He goes to the Philippines. He meets her. Haley, okay, 2 days after he met Nikki, 2 days, he says, quote, "I was taking my bag down and there was a used zip tie. Something came over me and I asked her to marry me. She said yes." Haley, one, how many things are wrong with that? What?
It's like every single aspect of the story as you're telling it, I'm like, it can't get worse. It can't get worse. And it keeps getting worse, keeps getting grosser. And okay, a zip tie? Really, buddy? And like you could see it when they were Skyping, she still had the zip tie.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's so cute. She still wears that zip tie. I'm like, bitch, if you're gonna buy her a plane ticket, buy her a ring too, so she can replace that.
Yeah, and it's not like Mark is this homeless guy or somebody who's very poor. Like
he has a nice house, a good job.
Yeah, he owns a business where he rents pianos. So I feel like if you're renting pianos, and he looked like he was transferring those pianos himself, I feel like that would be a job in which you make a decent amount of money. Especially, I mean, he's from Baltimore. I mean, I feel like there's lots of people in Baltimore looking for pianos. I mean, it's a pretty big, decently sized city. So yeah, like he's got the money. So I don't get why. who the hell would propose with a zip tie? I mean, I've seen it.
After two days,
Haley, 2 days. And he said that, oh, our chemistry was off the charts. And there was this, there was video of them in a pool and they were going underwater and they were just kissing underwater.
And I cried.
And it was just like, how can this happen? And the thing is here, and last season on the show, there was this couple, Brett and Daya, and Brett was a guy from Snohomish, Washington, a very small town. And he wasn't, he was not the greatest looking dude. And he brought over this girl, Daya, from the Philippines. But, again, it was going back to Lauren and Alexi in terms of looks wise, in terms of attractiveness, both of them, if they were to, run into each other on Tinder, I'm sure both of them would swipe right for each other. Whereas Mark and Nikki, Mark is this little velociraptor guy, and Nikki, she's 19 years old and she is
so hot.
She is stunning. She is gorgeous. Like, oh my goodness.
So pretty.
Yeah. And like, she could get like and I don't understand, if you're Nikki, why are you, why are you going on OkCupid with a 58-year-old man from the United States? Because you're a good-looking girl. You could probably find, and we've seen it on this show, there's six couples. There's people that do this, Haley. She could easily find a good-looking guy who's probably, in his 30s, close to 40. 20s, whatever, just not
anything.
Yeah, just not like close to 60. So I don't know what the hell Nikki is thinking here, going for Mark. And I think this is a clear example of, and we talked about how Mohammed was, in my opinion, one of the greatest villains in the history of reality television. I think that Nikki, because she's a female, I think she's might probably, I think Mark is going to be the one that people are looking at as the villain here, because he's the man and he's going to be looked at as taking advantage of Nikki. But I feel like I feel like Nikki absolutely, she knows what she's doing here, right? I mean, she can't. There's no way she's in love with this dude.
No. Stop pretending. Stop lying to us.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing. It's just no way possible.
There isn't. There's no way that's possible. I mean, unless Nikki, maybe she's blind and she just hasn't told us, Haley. Maybe.
That voice. Would you want to spend that voice every day of your life with that voice?
Yeah, he's got a pretty bad voice, doesn't he? It's not a good one. I feel like, especially if he was, and he was on this Skype, just how he was talking to her, and we didn't really see it too much, but there was a Skype conversation that Mark and Nikki were having, and he said, now, Nikki, I promise to protect you and to provide for you, and I promise, most of all, to love you. And it was just like it was almost as if he was talking to his dog. Like, that's honestly what it seemed like.
So
yeah, it was messed up. Like, this dude, this guy he's a strange guy. And I really, Haley, what do you think he was doing? I mean, 21 years ago, he brought his wife over on a K-1 visa. In the 21, and then they split up after a while. What do you think he was doing in the time since then? Because I'm very concerned as to what this man was up to for the past 15, 20 years.
Like, I think he was just raising his kids and working. Like, it would not surprise me if he was like, yeah, I haven't had a date since my other wife left. Would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, I guess that probably is what happened there. But yeah, it's just, how did he know? Oh, I'm going to go on like OkCupid. Like, it's just weird. Like, why can't you guys,
go to like a social club, or learn how to play euchre and meet a lady that way.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And I think that's a common theme with the show and with the family members of these people, is a lot of them say, and we saw this from Lauren's dad, hey, how come you can't meet someone, a nice guy in America? And Lauren just said, I'm in love with Alexi and you can't say that. And she got all mad and started crying, because that's what Lauren does. But in this scenario, it's just like, yeah, like, Mark, like, dude, you're 58 years old. Do you really need to do you really need to be online dating with people in foreign countries? I mean, yeah, it's just messed up. But we'll get more into Mark and Nikki later and some of the conversations that Mark has in the episode. But you need to just tune, if you're listening to this, if you're this far into the podcast, if you're 29 minutes into this podcast already, you're clearly invested. Check out this show specifically for this couple, because you need to see this for your own two eyes. It's very it's something that I have never really seen before. And it's very creepy. And I'm excited to see where this thing goes. Before we move on, Haley, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Like every thumb possible down. Like I'm so out on this couple.
Yeah, I think that everybody's with you in there. It's got to be thumbs down with these guys. Although I think we could see by the end of this thing, I would not be shocked if this thing works out, because I think that if Nikki wants to move to the States that badly that she wants to be with Mark, I think she's going to go do anything. She's going to be willing to put up with anything. Now, maybe I'm wrong. It'll be fun to see how those 90 days play out, but I think they've got a chance, but we'll see. Okay. The third couple here, we have Josh from Rexburg, Idaho. And we have Alexandra, and she's originally from Kirov, Russia. Haley, tell us about Josh and Alexandra.
Okay, so Josh is a fellow of the Mormon religion. He comes from a very rich family. And when he was on his mission trip, he was stationed in the Czech Republic. And Alexandra was there in school. So because of his religion, they couldn't date. But they were very good friends for a year. And then I don't know, something happened along the line and they proposed and she said yes. And, you know, she converted to Mormonism and they're pretty young. She's 21. He's 22. So she was coming over from Russia to come live in Idaho with him and his entire family.
Yes. And by his entire family, we mean his mom, his dad, and his 7 brothers and 4 sisters. Haley, how about that for a family? Hey, could you imagine living? I mean, there's 15 kids and they, or no, sorry, not 15 kids. clearly, it was a long night for me last night. Not 15 kids, 12 kids. And a mom and a dad still together. So 14 people under the same roof. Haley, how many people do you live with at your house?
Okay, so it's me and my parents. It's been like that for a couple years now, and my brother just got a new job in town, so he moved back. So my two parents, the two adult children, and our cat. And that's too much.
Yeah, I would say so too. I live in a very similar situation. I also I live with my mom and my dad in Surrey, British Columbia, and yeah, my sister lives here as well, and she's 19, so young adult. I'm 22, so yeah. And I think that, I mean, this is like 4 people is the like in terms of that age, like that's the max. I think you hit that, you're good. That's a nice little cap. Anything more than that, I think you're pushing it a little bit here. But there are 14 people in this house, and soon there are going to be 15 people here. There's all of Josh's family and all of these brothers and sisters,
and poor Alexandra.
Poor Alexandra. She is going to be living with all of these people, and
who don't seem to trust her.
No, and right off the bat, and we'll get into that later when Josh meets up with his family for lunch. All 14 of them, but yeah, they don't seem to trust Alexandra. And why do they not trust Alexandra, Haley?
Because she used to be a party girl, and it doesn't seem like anything super crazy.
No, right.
No, she used to go clubbing. Like, I used to go clubbing. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't mean I do it now.
Yeah,
because I'm old and tired.
Yeah,
at 24.
But yeah, no, like, I don't understand it. And
she converted to Mormonism for him.
She did, yeah.
And it seems like she's super into it too. So
she really is, and I think that she is really into him, because I don't think you move from, I mean, she's
to
already
Idaho.
Yes.
You don't move from anywhere to Idaho.
No, she really is.
Except from rural Idaho to less rural Idaho.
Yeah. And I think that, I really do think that it's really being overblown. And I think the show this season is going to really try and shove this down our throats, this idea that, oh, Alexandra was so bad and she was a party girl and all this stuff.
She probably partied at like 16 and 17 because it's legal there.
Yeah.
And she got tired of it by 21. Like, that's 5 years is kind of long enough.
And I think that, you know, what's wrong with that? I don't think that's a big deal, but I think that.
It's not like she does it now.
No, exactly. She converted.
It's not like she murdered someone. It's not like she has like 14, you know, out of wedlock children.
No.
Well, maybe. Oh, she tried pot once. Like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. But the Josh's family, they're not too high on that. Now, in terms of the Tinder scale, Haley, would these people both swipe right for each other?
Yes, even though Josh would find it unacceptable to be on Tinder.
Do you think there should be a Mormon Tinder? There really should. That would be good. I don't know what you would call it.
But even on Tinder, you wouldn't be able to tell that he talks like this all the time. I wanted to be like, no, like use your outside voice. Like, what are you doing? You're an adult man. Why do you sound like that?
So, I'm Josh, and I just love Alexandra. I love her eyes. I love her smile.
So
I love
so
everything.
For her to come here, and I'm going to go pick her up at the airport. And I think I am more nervous than I am excited. Hello, Alexandra. It is me. I am so excited to see you. Let us kiss on the mouth.
Yeah, that's that, honestly, that's if you didn't watch the episode, that is how Josh talks. And there was a guy last season, his name was Danny. It was a similar couple. They were both very young. It was Danny and Amy, and they were both they were a Christian couple, and they Amy was from South Africa, and her and Josh met overseas going to school in Australia. And Danny sort of has, like, because Josh is very innocent. Danny kind of had that innocence about him. But Danny was not, like, he didn't have, like, this really soft, Josh is literally soft spoken. Like, it's crazy how, like, soft his voice is. Like, he's very timid and shy. Danny was kind of like that, but this is like Danny on steroids if you watch the second season of the show. And definitely recommend you check that out. But yeah, I was trying to think of who I could compare Josh to, but it's tough. It's almost as if, you know, you see people go on Big Brother and they go in the diary room and they scream and go crazy and they do things like I did when I was on Big Brother Canada. But I feel like Josh went to the opposite school. Like, he is the complete opposite of like a crazy diary room screamer. Like, he's just so timid and quiet and nice and innocent. And he seems like a very nice kid. I just feel like this couple is going to be incredibly boring, Haley.
Oh my God. They're going to be the most boring.
Yeah, it's just because they need
this couple on, like, they need this version of the couple. Like you said, with the last season, they had this couple. And I'm sure on the first season, they had some sort of variation on this, like super young, super religious, like, you know, family has an issue. Because in my deep dive, I believe that Danny's family had an issue with them being an interracial couple,
yes,
right?
Yes, they did. Yeah, yeah. Danny's, and again, this is why you need to check out the show. Danny and Amy on season two, they were by far the most normal couple, great kids, people. I mean, they're around my age and your age, Haley. Like, they're people that I would want to hang out with. They're both awesome. And Danny's dad did not approve of their relationship because Amy was black. So, I mean, it's just a complete joke. And that, I think, is where the drama is going to arise this season with this couple. Is not so much with Josh and Alexandra. I think they'll be fine. I think it's just going to be the family living with those other
100% people. Agree.
Yeah, it's going to be the family and it's going to be the Mormon community. I think that the people at Josh's church are going to probably be judging him. And I think that, again, this idea that Alexandra was a party girl because she used to go to clubs and drink alcohol, I think that is going to really become a point of discussion with these people at the church. And I think that they're not going to be too thrilled about that.
I completely agree with that. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this couple goes, because I'm very high on them as a couple. But I feel like I'm not going to be high on them on my TV screen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. They're likable, but I don't know if they're gonna be fun to watch.
Oh, they're definitely not going to be fun to watch.
No. And I mean, I think I will enjoy. I have a soft spot for Josh because I think he's such a nice kid. And because, you know, hey, like I'm Josh and I'm a nice guy. And oh, hey, how's it going, guys? Like, I think like he would be a super nice dude if you met him in real life. And Alexandra is very cute. I think that
she's pretty. She seems, with her accent.
I want to
see if she has like a spark to her.
Like, yeah, because we didn't really see that. And I think that maybe she's holding back from that a little bit.
She seems a little shy so far. And it was cute. She was like, I like Josh because he has, do you say this in English, a big heart? And I was like, oh, girl, I like you.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very cute. And I think that, you know, I think for some people watching this show, I think that they like people like my mom, I think they're going to love this couple because yes. they're so nice and so awesome. But people looking for drama, and I think that's what a lot of people are watching this show for. I don't think Josh and Alexandra are the couple for you. But
they're almost like the palette cleanser.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good way to look at it. And I think that it's going to be good. I think it's good to kind of have like, all right, this is going to be, you know, that Josh and Alexandra is somewhat normal-ish couple going on, and they should be like, you know, not too many problems. It's the things going on around them. And I think that might be a little bit refreshing from the other couples because clearly some of these ones a Mark and a Nikki, like some of these other ones we're going to talk about, I think they will be big source of drama throughout the season. Thumbs up, thumbs down on Josh and Alexander. Thumbs up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's an easy thumbs up. I think these guys will work out no problem. The fact that she converted to Mormonism and she moved all the way to Idaho, I think that's very telling. And I think
that's a pretty big commitment right there.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a pretty big commitment. Okay, the next couple. And this couple has my favorite person on the season so far. I would probably say that this guy is my favorite so far. We have Melanie and DeVar. Haley, tell us a little bit about Melanie and DeVar.
Melanie is a single mom from Pennsylvania. She's 33. She's super into running and fitness and stuff. She went on a vacation with her friends to Jamaica and she met DeVar, who was a lifeguard there. They fell in love immediately. They had a couple of visits since and he proposed and now he's going to move to America.
And DeVar is, so Haley is 33. She's from Orrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I thought that I was coming when I was from a small town, when I went on reality TV, when I said I was from Cloverdale, British Columbia. But I feel like Orrisburg is even smaller than that. And DeVar, Haley, I thought was interesting. I don't know if you caught this. He is from Runaway Bay, Jamaica. And no,
I hope that's not foreshadowing.
Runaway Bay is where DeVar is from. Like you said, hopefully it's not foreshadowing, but DeVar is 28, very ripped, good looking dude,
like the most ripped possible.
Yeah, he's ripped. He's from Jamaica. I think that this guy is going to be very fun to watch on the show. He's very entertaining. Yeah, I think he's gonna be really fun to watch. I wish he was with more of a Mohammed Danielle esque relationship because I think that DeVar definitely has Mohammed upside in him. But I do think that Melanie, I think that she's no Danielle. I think she works out every day. She's only 33. Although I don't know. There's something about Melanie that just I don't know what it is. Maybe how she talks. I feel like Melanie hasn't had the most luck in relationships in her life. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just feel like guys aren't always fawning over her and she's not used to getting guys like DeVar. Do you think that's an accurate assessment, Haley?
I think that's fair, but I don't think it's like on the Danielle end of the spectrum. Like, I think Mel could get it in if she wanted to, where Danielle, I'm not sure. If she could.
No. Well, I mean, clearly Danielle has because she has four kids.
And Melanie just seems like a very strong individual. She, you know, she said on the show, like,
yeah, for sure.
I love Devar, but no one comes between me and my son, and he knows that, and that's just it. And I, you know, she's an independent lady, and I think she's going to be the breadwinner in this relationship.
Yeah, she's a registered nurse. I think so. I don't know what Devar is going to be doing because he was a lifeguard in Jamaica. I have no idea what he's going to be doing.
That's a seasonal position in Pennsylvania.
Maybe. Yeah. So I'm excited to see where these people go. I think Hunter is a great kid. He's 11 years old. He said that he wants to maybe play hockey or something, which I like this kid. Yes. I think as a fellow Canadian, Haley, I figured you would also like this kid, saying he wants to teach Devar how to play hockey. But yeah, I think he seems like a really cool kid. And I mean, I do, as much as I think that this couple could have a lot of issues and problems, I do think that these guys are going to work. I really do, because
I do too. I just have a feeling about it. And I think there might be some issues with Devar, whether or not he's mature enough to take on that father role. But they said in the episode, he took care of all of his sisters. So I don't see why he couldn't. I think the biggest issue this couple is going to face is everyone else in their life. Her sisters and friends seem like such fun killers.
Yeah, they really do, a big time. And they showed her sister on the preview for this season on 90 Day Fiancé. And all I have to say, Haley, is wow. When I saw Melanie's sister, I could not believe that they were. I think now I know what Melanie might look like if she decided not to work out every single day, and if she decided to dye her hair red. Like, her hair is like, it literally looks like her sister's hair is like, how would you describe that hair of hers?
Kate Gosselin, but fire engine red.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And the way I was comparing it to was, if you remember Claire from The Bachelor, from Juan Pablo's season, when there were the hometown dates and you saw Claire's sisters and you saw Claire, yes, and you really were like, oh my God, those are Claire's sisters. How are those two related? Clearly, Claire got the good genes. I think the same thing happened with Melanie here. But yeah, her friends, I think her friends might just honestly be jealous that she's dating such a good looking dude like Devar. Yeah. And I think that might lead to some issues and some jealousy. And yeah, she's from a small town.
I think they are having like genuine. Like, if one of my friends came to me like, hey, I met this dude in Jamaica and now we're going to get married, I'd be like, whoa, like, let's pump the brakes for a man. So like, I understand where they're coming from. But like we said, with the preview for, you know, coming up on, her sister was like, he's lying to you. How do you know that he's not cheating on you? And like right in front of him too. And he was like, whoa.
Yeah. And that really pissed me off, because I was like, come on. Like, if this dude was not, I felt like that was kind of racist, really. I thought like, you're only saying that because he's black. Like, if he wasn't black, you wouldn't be saying that. But because he is, you're saying that, and you think, oh, he's like hooking up with other girls. No, like he's here. He's with her. Like, don't just in front of his face. Like, that is so disrespectful to say that. It's just like talking smack about him like that. I just found that to be really stupid and annoying. But
I'm interested to see what his reaction will be to that.
Yeah, I am too, to see how he plays defense to all these accusations. And I feel like this is going to be an ongoing theme throughout the season. But yeah, in fairness, I mean, you know, again, Melanie met this guy in Jamaica. She saw him come up. She said that she saw him come up off the beach. She asked him to go for a 5-mile run with her the next day. And then
first date ever.
Hey, so do you want to go for a run? Haley, one, have you ever asked a guy out on a date?
Yes.
Oh, you have asked a guy on a date. Okay, interesting. So how did that work? What did you, where did you ask him? Did you ask him to go on a 5-mile run?
Oh, absolutely effing not. I was just like, hey, like, we should hang out. You know what I mean? It was just like super cash. I have never asked anyone to go on a 5-mile run for me.
Okay.
With now, me. Now, A, because I cannot personally run 5 miles. And B, I do not think the appearance of myself after 5 miles would be very compelling to people.
And also, I mean, 5 miles, that's 5 miles is quite a bit if you don't run.
It's a lot.
It is a lot because, I mean, up in Canada, we use the metric system. I mean, 5 kilometers would be one thing, but 5 miles.
5K, I can do.
Yeah, 5K.
I'm not going to be happy about it.
Yeah, but 5 miles. I mean, that's a decently sized run. But that's interesting. Okay, so you have asked a guy out. Did he say yes?
Yeah,
he did. Of course, it's Haley Strong asking him out. So, and same thing happened for Mel. She asked out DeVar. He said yes, and they said that
sometimes you just gotta pull the trigger with the guys. Like, no, they won't do it.
So. No, and honestly, yeah. As a male, I think that, you know, I'm not afraid to be like, hey, yeah, like let's hang out sometime and do something. I get turned down a lot, but I'm not afraid to at least throw
myself out there. I don't believe that for a second, Jordan.
I know lots of ladies
who would be clamoring over you.
I should
send them to BC, right?
Yeah, you really should. I need to come out and visit you for a weekend or something, and then we can do. Or although I was thinking maybe someone listening to this podcast, if you want to do that, and we could do our own little 90 Day Fiance. I could come visit you in America or something, do our own little show. I think that would be kind of cool because I kind of want to be on this show now after watching it. But yeah, no, seriously, Haley, next year when I'm in Niagara Falls for Big Brother Canada 4, the finale. And you need to introduce me to these women the ladies are they're not really clamoring over me here.
I've been keeping a short list.
Okay, sounds good.
People are very jealous I get to talk to you on a regular basis.
that is cool. I don't believe that, but again, we'll talk about this further at another date. So DeVar and Melanie, they go on this run, whatever. She said that they spent every day together since. So they spent after 20 days, he proposes. Now, again, this is really soon.
That's 10 times as long as Nikki and whatever his name is.
Nikki and Richard Simmons. Yeah, that's for them. Yeah, it's
10 times as long.
And that is what is completely so ridiculous, Haley. It's like, how that is 20 days is of them waiting to get.
I think it's 20 collective days. I think they were together longer, like, you know, through email and Skype and whatever. I think it was like 20 days spent in human person contact.
Yeah, and they didn't really make it 100% clear, but I think that's probably – I agree. I think that's probably how
– Like, Mel seems too sensible for, you know, less than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with you. I think that she is somebody who is – she's very practical, and I think that, you know, she's a nurse. She's got a kid. I think she has to be. She can't be one of these people that is like, oh, yeah, I'll get engaged to this guy from Jamaica on a whim because he's hot. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. No, I feel like she's somebody who she's smart. I think that she's a smart lady, and I think that, you know, she wouldn't do something like that without thinking. So, yeah, 20 days, I mean, yeah, it's really, really quick. But I think that they – and I was listening to some other podcasts talking about this. They had been talking a lot on Skype and stuff like that, and she had been traveling back and forth to and from Jamaica, and then she had some 20-day trip or something, and then they got engaged. So I think that's a little bit more acceptable. But still, it's going to be quite the challenge.
It's not great by any means.
No,
it's definitely don't believe that we are endorsing thing.
No. Yes, for those of you
longer than 2 days,
please wait. Maybe, you know, okay, Melanie and DeVar, they waited 10 times longer than Mark and Nikki. You should probably, a good rule of thumb is probably you should wait 10 times longer than than Melanie and DeVar, and then some, because even then that's only what, 200 days, and then it should probably that's crazy. So this show is nuts. I mean, it's crazy that we're talking about this.
It's
being
so good.
It's like, oh, it's only 20 days. That's good. That's a good amount of time. No,
that's a really long time for all these couples.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know when you're dealing with some crazy people when. But Melanie and DeVar should be a very fun couple to watch. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Haley.
I have thumbs up on them.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thumbs up as well. I think that there's potential for a lot of drama with this crew, this group, this pair, I should say. But I do think that I think it's going to work. I think Devar is a good guy.
I like them.
Devar's got that Muhammad upside. But again, I think that I don't think anybody's quite like Muhammad. And I think that, I think Devar is probably a better dude than him. And also, I mean, Melanie is, I think, a better match for Devar than Danielle was for Muhammad. So, don't know if he would necessarily swipe right on Tinder for her, but I wouldn't be shocked if he would swipe right for her, if that makes sense.
And we're pretty high on the couples we've seen, like 3 out of 4 we have thumbs up on. But there's 2 couples we didn't see on this episode, and that's Kyle from New Orleans and Noon from Thailand, and Fernando from Miami and Carolina from Colombia. And there are 2 people based on previews that I feel like I have thumbs down on.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So let's talk about that then. Because, we haven't seen really any of Fernando and Carolina, and we haven't really seen any of Kyle and Noon. Now, let's talk about Fernando and Carolina briefly here, because we didn't really see too much of these guys. Fernando, how I would describe him, if you've seen Modern Family and you're familiar with Manny, who's Sofia Vergara's son in the show. Do you watch Modern Family, Haley?
Like, not on the reg, but I'm LOLing as a comparison right now.
Yes, he kind of looks like Manny from Modern Family if Manny was 39 years old. That's kind of what Fernando reminds me of.
Yeah, so this couple is, he's 39 and she's 22.
Yeah, so that's like...
And according to this blurb I have on Starcasm, they met in a Colombian nightclub while on dates with other people.
Yeah, and that is legit, because I have gone on the TLC website and I have watched Fernando's audition tape to get on the show. And yeah, that is how they met. So Fernando was dating a girl at the time. I think he had been in a long-term relationship with her, and he was in a nightclub and he just met Carolina. And they just hit it off, apparently. So this is very interesting, Haley. So this is a couple that is born out of... despising their dates, and they kind of came together as a result of that. Like, has that ever happened to you?
Oh my God, no, absolutely. You think I get attention in clubs? Jokes.
No, I mean, but like going out somewhere and you're like on a date and you know, someone else is on another date and like both of your dates suck. So then you're like, hey, like, let's work out. Like, I feel like that, and I'm with you. I also,
that's just like rude.
Yeah. I feel like that is right. Like, wait till after or something. I don't know. And who knows how it happened, but I think that, I'm interested that, well, first off, like, yeah, you said you don't get much attention in clubs. I don't get a lot of attention in clubs, but I don't think Fernando would either, because I mean,
maybe
again,
it's because we do things like take our Saturday afternoons and podcast about shows on TLC, but
yeah, maybe that's what it is. But but maybe because Fernando's not doing that, he's doing it right and we're doing it wrong. And that's why he's getting all that attention. But yeah, I mean, he's not the best looking dude. He's 39. He does look younger.
She's very
39,
cute.
And she is very cute. She's from Colombia. And you were talking earlier about these casting archetypes they have in the show. Every single season on the show, they have a very attractive girl from Colombia every single time. And Carolina is no exception to that rule. We had Pau, who was on the first season, season 2. I can't remember her last name.
There was a girl from Brazil, but I don't remember what her name was.
Yeah, from Brazil last year, we had Cassia. She was, I think, only 22, and she was with Jason, who's 39. Cassia is sort of like Abby Maria on Survivor. She would be great on Survivor. She is very all over the place and explosive. Now, the girl from Colombia last season, and I can't remember her name because she was too nice, but she was gorgeous. She is probably she's probably debatably like the best looking female to be on this show. And over the course of the 3 seasons, she's amazing. She's so attractive, very nice, kind-hearted lady, but I can't remember her name because she wasn't really too interesting. This girl, Carolina, seems like she's got a little bit more fire. She, from what I've seen, kind of reminds me more of Cassia. And that's why I'm excited to see these two work out, because Fernando looks like he's a very nice dude and he's trying to No, you disagree.
Okay, another line in this thing is Fernando has a bit of a history of stepping out on his significant others, which concerns Carolina.
Okay, yes. And that shocks me because, Haley, again, this dude, I mean, he looks like Manny from Modern Family. Manny from Modern Family does not have the ability to go out there. And I'm sorry, Rico Rodriguez, I believe is his name. Very nice kid, I'm sure. And I think he's awesome. But I don't think he has the ability to go out and cheat on his girlfriend all the time. And I don't know who Fernando is cheating on his girlfriend with.
He's finding someone.
I guess. I don't know. But who would you date? Do you find this guy attractive, Haley?
He's like the age thing. I'm just so out on.
How so? Like that?
Like because he's 39. Like yes. I'm 24. Yeah. I don't like age differences more than like 2 years.
Yeah, but like let's say like throw the age out the window. Okay. Just looking at him as a you know aesthetically, would you want to date Fernando?
Like he's cute in the face, but like. Probably not my type.
Yeah, right. I think that, and I don't know. I just feel like there's something about him, just like the little bit I've seen of him, that I just don't really see why people would find him attractive. But for whatever reason, Carolina likes him. And the thing that's going to be interesting about this couple, and it's something that we have not seen on the show throughout two seasons, is these guys both speak Spanish. Every single time we've had a Colombian girl come on the show or someone from Brazil or something, you know, or one of these other countries, the Philippines, we don't have two people that speak the same language. It's always they're speaking in English. And I think that it's hard for the person who's from the other country to come to America because they're, you know, one, they're in this new relationship and that's hard. But two, they're having to speak in English all the time. And that's not something that they're used to. For Carolina and Fernando, they can speak in Spanish all the time. So I think maybe they had a connection that way somehow.
Right.
But I don't know. It's
but like Spanish is the third most popular language on Earth.
Yes, that
like,
is true.
If that was like the deal breaker, like, honey, girl.
Yeah, true. I think that's a fair statement. Now, before we move on to Kyle and Noon, why are you thumbs down on these two?
I feel like they're going to be volatile. And I think, like you said, she's fiery. And I think he's a little aloof. Like he seemed aloof from the preview. And like, that's so little time. It's not even funny. But like, you know what drives, you know, fiery people crazy? When people are aloof and don't care.
Especially
like, try to be like, no, like that's not like, no, like you're being crazy. You never call a crazy girl crazy, like straight up.
No. And you're right. And it's so true. And especially when you're in a relationship with them. And I think that they're going to be living together and they're going to clash. It's going to be fun to see these guys go at it. And I feel like Carolina is the type where she could just be like one day, you know what, I'm just going to get up and leave and I'm going to go back to Colombia because F this. I don't want to deal with you anymore. But no, I'm excited to watch and see how this plays out.
And I think the first line Fernando said in this preview was Carolina can be jealous. And it's like, OK, well, that's not going to go well for either of you.
No, especially in this type of situation. So but no, it'll be fun. They're in Miami. So at least she'll have a little bit more fun there. Last season when Jason and Cassia were together, Cassia moved from Brazil to meet with Jason and they're living and they still are living. They celebrated their anniversary this week. I was tweeting back and forth with Jason a few days ago. Yes, of course I was. They live like in a swamp, like in the middle of nowhere. It's like it's in, I don't know, somewhere in the Florida Everglades. It's not a fun place to be for a young 22-year-old girl. So Cassia is not, I don't think, is having too much fun doing that. Whereas at least for Carolina, she'll be in Miami. She could go out and go to some more clubs and maybe find a new relationship while being in a relationship. Like she did last time. So I don't know. I think she'll have more fun. And I agree with you. I'm probably leaning more thumbs down, but I'm leaning thumbs up. I think that I do think that they're going to figure it out. I really do. And
interesting.
I think that honestly, I think that I think that most of them will work out, but it's going to be, again, we'll see. There's a lot of time for these guys to interact and for things to go wrong, and they have only 90 days to make it happen. So it's going to be tough, as it is for all of these couples. Now, the other couple that you were also a thumbs down on is Kyle from New Orleans and Noon, and she's from Thailand. Why are you so down on Kyle and Noon?
Okay, so their little blurb is, Kyle is a 28-year-old Big Easy bartender who met 25-year-old Noon while on a trip to Thailand. Noon is not too happy about the kinds of ladies hanging around Kyle's workplace, and soon, jealousy becomes a major issue. Jealousy to me is like such a like a hot-button word in relationships that are pretty new. I'm like, no, like that's not going to work. If you guys are super jealous like already, like, sorry, you guys are effed.
Yeah, especially already very early on, not a good foundation for a relationship, jealousy. I think that this one, I don't know, because we don't really have a lot of information on these two.
We really don't. And I read somewhere that Noon is the least confident with her English. So I feel like that's going to be really difficult, because I'm doubting he speaks much Thai, and it's really hard to communicate just any of your feelings when you don't really have a great grasp on the language, and you're kind of embarrassed of your grasp on the language.
Yeah, and I think that's
so I feel like there's going to be a lot of cross signals here.
Yeah, that's a really underrated thing, Haley, for sure, is this idea of the whole language barrier, because it's one thing for anybody to get engaged after 2 days or 20 days or whatever it is, and having to get married within a 90-day period. But it's another thing when there's this language barrier and you can't even express your feelings and talk to each other and say the things you want to say, because you can't really, you know, the one person doesn't really understand what you're saying. Like that's hard. It's hard enough when you're both on the same page. It's it's even harder. I feel like it would be 10 times harder if you can't even speak English. And I don't know if you saw clips of Noon, but yeah, I saw Noon speak. She's got very weak English. She's going to struggle. I can tell right away.
And it's so hard when, you know, nobody around you speaks your language either.
No. And
like she can't communicate to anyone. No, and that's going to be so stressful.
So hard. And I think if she was up north here in Canada with, you know, where you and I are, I feel like up here there are some more people from Thailand. Now, not like tons of people from Thailand, but it's more multicultural.
There's large Thai populations out where you are near Vancouver. Toronto.
Exactly.
Toronto way.
Yeah. Whereas in New Orleans, I don't really think there is any population of Thai people. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know my New Orleans history, but I'm pretty sure there are not that many people. So that's going to be hard as well for her. And I don't know. I really don't know. Kyle just seems kind of weird, Haley, right? Like this guy's.
Yeah, I'm looking at his picture right now. I'm trying to like figure out who he reminds me of. One of the Corey Matthews, who played him? Corey, the Savages. Oh, it looks like the older Savage.
Oh, yeah, that's actually
Ben
not.
Dan.
Yeah, that's actually not bad. I like that comparison there. Yeah, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, maybe like. Yeah, his older. Yeah, that's probably where I would go with the two. But he's like, he looks like him, but he's just a weird guy. Like that's
and she's very cute.
Yeah, she's cute. It's just I don't know. Again, the language thing. I just feel like that would be
really
so
hard.
Tough. And I don't know about you, Haley, but for me, I would have trouble getting engaged to any of these people. I'd have trouble getting engaged to someone like Lauren, who I find stunning, right after, I don't know how, 10 days or whatever, and then having to get married within 90 days and being able to at least speak English with the person. But if I couldn't have like an intellectual conversation or anything with a person because of the big language barrier, I don't think I could do it. I really don't.
Absolutely not. Like, how are you supposed to get to know this person that you claim you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Yeah.
So you can't like on chemistry alone, you can't be like, yes, this is it. Like chemistry is great and it's important, but it's not everything.
No.
Like, how are you supposed to communicate? Like, yes, I want kids, or this is what my religion is. It is or is not important to me. Just you can't communicate anything to them.
No, you can't. Or, you know, this is why I want to vote for Justin Trudeau in the election next week or something.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah. So,
but that was so Canadian. It's not even funny.
I know. So Canadian. Most people listening to this. Well, and again, if there's anyone listening to this,
the two people that are still listening.
Yeah. The two people that are listening. So to my mom and
my brother
and your brother. What's up, guys?
All right. We're good then.
Yeah, we're good. They'll know who Justin Trudeau is because they're Canadian. But if there was any Americans or anyone else listening to this, it'd be like, who's Justin Trudeau? If you are listening to this and you don't know who Justin Trudeau is, look it up because he's the next big thing in Canadian politics. At least that's what
you're going to want a K-1 visa for him.
Yes, you would. Justin Trudeau would be great on this show. Or The Bachelor is where Justin Trudeau should be. He's a gorgeous man.
He is so pretty.
He is. He's a good to be our potentially be our prime minister and look like that. I think that that would be if we did a draft of like world leaders in terms of like attractiveness, I think that he would probably be he might go first overall, Haley.
When the smear campaigns against him include that he has great hair, well, then, you know, he's a babe.
Of course. Ah, good old JT. Love me some Justin Trudeau. Okay. But let's move on. Let's talk about the episode here. So if you listen to the preview, if you think that these couples are interesting enough, if Haley and I convinced you, pause the podcast now. If you haven't seen the episode, go find the 90 Day Fiancé season 3, episode 1. You can find it on the TLC website, I believe. And also, if you just do a little bit of Google searching, you can find it no problem. And if you're struggling, hit me up and I will gladly hook you up with some links so you can watch it because it's a really good show and you need to check it out. But so pause it, come back to us later. And then after the end of the episode, tell us what you think about everything. Okay, Haley, let's talk about the rest of this episode. So we're introduced to all the couples other than Fernando and Carolina, Kyle and Noon. And by the way, I'm also a thumbs down on Kyle and Noon. I think that they probably, if I had to pick another one that I'm thumbs down on, it would be them. But let's jump into the episode. So we see this scene. So there's lunch at Josh's house. And we see the 14 of these people. I don't know what Josh's last name is. We'll just call them the Joshes. The Joshes are all together. They're having lunch and they're talking about stuff. And Josh's brothers are all speaking. And I don't know if you caught this. Josh has a brother named Heber, Haley. Heber. Is that a name you've ever heard?
No. Yeah. It is certainly not.
Yeah, Heber. Like, I'm going to Google this right now. I don't think Heber.
Heber, I hardly know her.
Yeah. Heber. Is that a name? Heber. Oh. Okay.
H-E-B-E-R?
Yeah, H-E-B-E-R. Okay, so Heber.
Great-grandson of Noah's son, Shem, yes. And the father of Plague and Joctan.
Ah, there we go. So it's a religious name.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Heber City is also a city.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
The magic of Google. There we go. Google.ca. We got giving us the exact same results, Haley. But yes, Heber, quite the name. But yeah, so more talk about just this whole situation and Josh's and the Josh's talking. Josh's dad, Dirk, speaks and he's very skeptical because he says marriage is forever, Haley.
Yeah, sure is. maybe not for all of these couples, but I think for this couple, yes. Yes, they just like it's a very strong position on marriage almost. They're very family oriented, and I totally understand that. And marriage is such a huge part of that. They're so concerned about Alexander, though. Like, why are you like, yes, this can happen if you're like, I'm very concerned about her party girl, you know, past. Why would you tell your parents that also?
Yeah. I think Josh just can't. He's just so nice. Like, he can't help but like always tell the truth. So that's probably he was like, she was a go-go dancer and she liked to go drink alcohol at clubs. But, you know, we came up to her and we said, you should read the Book of Mormon. It would change your life. And most people would say, oh, well, that's a load of hooey. I wouldn't check that out. But she said yes. And she wanted to change her life. And she's a Mormon now like that. I mean,
yeah, like I think that speaks way more for who she is as a person than you know, the handful of time she went to a club in Russia, like whatever.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I don't know about you, Haley, but if I was on the street and a Mormon missionary came up to me and said, hey, you should read the Book of Mormon, it'll change your life. I would probably, and I'm sorry for being an asshole, but I would probably be like, oh, thank you. But I would probably just keep walking, and I would not.
I would probably have like my headphones in and pretend that I like straight up couldn't hear them. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be mean, but just. That's just
how it is. Like, if you're out in Prague, if you're downtown, you're probably going to walk somewhere. You're busy, you know, you're probably not going to stop for somebody like that. And Josh probably encountered lots of people not saying anything. And the fact that she probably did stop probably was a big factor in the reason why he fell in love with her. But yeah, I mean, unless it was Tyson Apostle who was on his mission coming up to me, stopping me, I don't think I would stop. I think I would just, be like, oh, thank you, but no thanks, and just keep going.
Yeah. And like, she not only did she convert to Mormonism for him, she also learned English for him.
Yes.
Her English was pretty good.
Her English is very good. I was very impressed so far. I think that she's considering that, she didn't really know any English before. I was very impressed. I'm very high on Alexandra. I really do. I like her a lot. I think that she's a really nice girl. And I think that I'm excited to see their future and how these guys work out, because I think they're going to work out just fine, despite the fact that Dirk and Heber and these other people in the Joshes are not not the biggest fans of Alexandra, but
yeah, I think she's going to win them over. And I think it'd be extremely unfair for, you know, they hadn't met her then. Now they have, for them to continue to hold this over her as her past.
And it's
listen, that's not who I am. This is who I am now. And I've committed my entire life. I left my entire life behind for Josh and this religion. So it's like, that speaks way more to me than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we later saw, and I guess we can just move. We'll talk about what happened with these couples in the episode by couple, instead of just bouncing back and forth between each scene. Cause that was how I took my notes, and I probably shouldn't have done that, but so later on we see them have this lunch, and then we see them go to the airport. I don't know if all of the Joshes were going, but I think it was
a significant number of the Joshes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was a pretty big number of the Joshes. They were all there. They go to the airport. They have these signs saying, "Welcome to America, Alexandra." And Josh is he gets a text from her, and she says she's at baggage claim. He's at the wrong baggage claim. So he's like, oh, where is she? And then eventually he walks over and he's like, oh, she's at the other baggage claim. And then he runs over, and then they reunite. And just how they filmed this was interesting. Like, they kind of like the screen was like really bright. Like, and I'm right now in school for broadcasting, and we're learning about filming techniques and like over exposure and when something is overexposed and underexposed, and the lighting is just like so bright. It looks like it's like very overexposed, and like there's this slow motion, and you see him like walking. He's like running towards Alexandra, and he's holding these roses, wearing his plaid flannel shirt, and he's like running up to her, and then they hug and they embrace and like they kiss, and it's all in slow motion.
I was shocked that they kissed.
I was shocked too. But I just found that whole scene to be a little weird. But yeah, they hug and then he kisses her in front of his mom, and I was like, whoa, like, I mean, for a Mormon guy to kiss in front of his mom and all the other Joshes, I was a little very surprised. But no, they seemed to be very happy. And then there's a confessional from Alexandra, and she says, it was the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh, she's so
because it happened. That was what she said. So yeah, she's so cute. I think it's great. I think that these guys are going to work out no problem. And we saw them together in their confessional, and Josh is like, I want to make you happy. And she says, oh, well, I'm happy because you're here and I'm here now. And so I these guys are going to work out no problem. I have no concerns about these people. And I'm glad that we didn't spend too much time on them in the episode, because we didn't really need to. I think that it wasn't really worth getting into it too much with those guys.
They're definitely going to get the least amount of screen time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Especially once once Fernando comes onto the show, and with Carolina and Kyle and Noon, when they come in here, I feel like those guys will probably be, maybe not so much Kyle and Noon. I could see them potentially being a little bit boring, but I do think that Fernando and Carolina, I think that they're definitely going to get a lot of screen time once they're on the show. So that wrapped things up for the Joshes for the episode. So they were done. We didn't really get to got those two scenes with them after the little introduction. Now, let's jump to Lauren and Alexi. So Lauren, we saw in her little intro thing, she was Skyping with Alexi saying that she misses him and all this stuff. And I don't know if you caught this, Haley, but when she was Skyping with him, she had her laptop out and it was a Mac, and you could clearly
had like a red tape over it.
Yeah, it had red tape over him, over the Mac. So it was like,
but you could still see it,
still see the Apple logo. And it's like they're trying to, TLC is covering up the logo because they don't have the rights to show the Mac logo. But it's just a, it's a piece of red tape that is
duct tape.
Yeah, it's like completely transparent, and you can see because on a Mac laptop, the, you know, the Apple lights up, and it's just coming right through the tape. I just found that to be completely ridiculous and like just like so stupid.
Like, good try, good effort.
Yeah, TLC. Like nice try, TLC, but you gotta be effing kidding me here. Like, you're trying to cover up a laptop with like red electrical tape. Like, that's just like so stupid. I just found that hilarious. But anyway, Lauren's Skyping with Alexi, and she's talking about like where they're gonna meet and stuff. And Alexi doesn't have his K-1 visa approved yet, so they need to meet in Canada. And Lauren is, Lauren flies to Canada. Her parents are living in Florida. They fly to Canada. And basically the plan is for, hopefully for Alexi, for him to get his visa approved. And then all of them are going to go back to Florida together. And I don't know what Lauren's going to be doing because she's an executive assistant in New York right now. So who knows how that's going to work. But anyway, they meet up in Canada. Whereabouts in Canada do you think this is? This has to be Toronto, right?
Oh, it's 100% Toronto.
Yeah. So it's they come to our home country. They come to our
neck of the woods.
It's our home and native land, Canada. They come to Lauren's family comes together, and Lauren's dad really reminded me someone as well, Haley. I can't really put my finger on it. Like, he's a bald guy.
He reminded me of Andy from The Bachelor's father when he met Juan Pablo.
Yeah, hi Dorfman. Yeah, like, yeah. Kind of like high, sort of like, here's kind of what I was thinking here. Then I think I've got it now. Do you watch the show Storage Wars, Haley?
Unfortunately, my parents usually have at least 10 to 12 episodes on our DVR, and they are frequently watching at least one of them. So I have caught an episode or two of this show.
Okay. I think that Lauren's dad is a cross of Hi Dorfman and Dave Hester in one.
Okay, I see that.
Right? That's totally it. It's Hi Dorfman and Dave Hester from Storage Wars. Yep. I think that they are.
I like just had a seizure at you saying that.
Yeah, I did. I was going to do it louder, but then I didn't want to like wreck the levels of the audio on this podcast. So I didn't want Scott St. Pierre to have to go and fix that. And I also didn't want to blow out anybody's eardrums if they're listening to this on their iPod. But yes, that's the cross section, I think, between that's what makes up Lauren's dad. But anyway, seems like a nice enough dude. And her mom, they both seem like they seem open to the idea of Lauren and Alexi being together. But Lauren's dad is very defensive. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want Lauren's heart to get broken, Haley. And, we see Lauren, I think how many times did she cry here? Like three or four times?
At least three or four.
Yeah. So, sign of things to come, I think, with Lauren. So
definitely.
So that should be fun, to watch. And then, so we see that, and Lauren's like scared. She's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And things are, it's very uncertain. And anyway, we fast forward a little bit. They reunited the airport as well, Lauren and Alexi. And what airport is this? Cause is this
Pearson.
That is Pearson.
Yeah.
Okay, because that didn't look like it to me, although I've only been there a few times, so I guess that's probably why.
It's probably because you might have flown into the
domestic.
I've flown international through there, and I remember coming out in that little area.
And that's what it looks like. Okay, so they're at the YYZ. They're at the code, right, for the. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go.
And the Rush song.
That's right. Oh my gosh! Wow, I totally forgot about that. Didn't think
the more you know.
The more you know. Didn't think we'd be talking about Rush on this podcast, but so they finally reunite. They embrace. It's great. We don't really see the slow motion or the overexposure and the effects that we saw on Josh and Alexandra's meet. But yes, they're together. They get in a limo. They can't keep their hands off each other. They just kind of start like kissing over and over again.
Yeah, they're like doing it in the back of their Uber.
They really was that an Uber or was that a limo?
It looked Uber-ish.
Okay, so they're in an Uber. Yeah, and they're
like,
and Haley,
don't give an HJ in the back of someone's car. Like, yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, and also,
or a stranger's car, at least.
Yeah, a stranger's car. And I feel like, is it, and they don't have Ubers in Vancouver. Is that like a
they
don't? No, like they were trying to get them here and then they didn't get approved. So we don't have Ubers here. So I'm not sure if there's a law in like the Uber contract where it's or the Uber code of conduct that says you can't give HJs to people in the back of an Uber.
That should just be like the respect code of humanism. Like, if you don't know this person, don't give any HJs.
Probably not a good idea. But I can't imagine. I mean, there were cameras on them, so I can't imagine what would be happening if those two were together without any cameras. It probably would not have. It would not have been a pretty sight to see had there been no cameras in the car. But anyway, yeah, they're getting together, whatever, they're making out, they're doing all this stuff. They're very,
my favorite line of this little part was Lauren was like, oh my god, I love you so much, Alexi, like I love you. And he's like, thanks. And she's like, do you love me too? And he's like, yep.
He's like,
which I think is also a sign of times to come.
Yeah, like that was interesting. And there was like, I mean, she said that too, on the Skype call too. She was like, oh, I love you. And he was like, ha ha ha, like he laughed. Cool. And then he was like, well, love you too, baby. Like, I don't know. I think that he is not as into this as she is. But then we saw some of these.
It's previews. Hard to be into this as much as she is. Like, it's very difficult.
Yeah, that's a fair point. She's like one of those girls on The Bachelor. She really is. It's almost as if Alexi is The Bachelor. She's into him like that. So it's gonna be fun to watch these guys. But yeah, they're together, they're happy, whatever. And they're talking about meeting with Lauren's family, so it looks like that will probably be on next week's episode. So that'll be, I'm excited to see that. And maybe High Dorfman / Dave Hester will beat up Alexi. Maybe he'll yell at him. Maybe he'll be nice to him.
I doubt anyone's going to be able to beat up Alexi. Like, let's remember that he's 7'7" and jacked as all hell.
Yeah, that's true. Although, and he was a medic. So I feel like,
I'd love to see a wrestling fight between DeVar and Alexi, but that's just like my weird thing.
Yeah, that could be a good one. Maybe on like the, they do a reunion show at the end of the season. So maybe at the very end of the season, we could see that DeVar versus Alexi. I would take DeVar. I think that DeVar's from Jamaica. I think he probably had a rougher.
Scrappy. He got low.
Yeah, I think he had a rougher upbringing. And I think that, you know, I think.
Like, by low, I mean, like, take him out at the legs, not like dance out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised
like,
either.
He looks like he has a lower center of gravity.
Yeah, well, and I wouldn't be surprised if DeVar is actually kind of short. Like, he looks like he's taller, but I wouldn't be surprised I wouldn't be shocked if we find out, like, oh, yeah, DeVar's like 5'7". Like, I wouldn't be shocked by that. I really would.
That'd be amazing.
That would be pretty cool if that's what if that's what all it was. That wraps things up with those guys. And we will save Mark and Nikki for the end because I think that there's the most interesting things going on with those two. So we'll talk about Melanie. Melanie gets some drinks with her friends. She's about to go to Jamaica for 2 days before she leaves, and she's with two of her friends who look kind of similar to Melanie's sister. No offense to those guys. I'm sure they're very nice ladies, but I don't think they're working out every single day like Melanie is. They're not as hardcore as she is. And very few people are as hardcore as Melanie is. I'm not as hardcore as Melanie is. I'm probably in the category of Melanie's friends. But her friend says that, they're going to be there for her, but she's concerned that there's going to be some people judging, and they're going to say, oh, black man and white woman, it's a small town. And this is
okay. That is not what I'd be concerned about. Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's such a BS thing.
It totally is. So, it's such a cop out, right? I mean, like, why? Or like, why is that the thing to be? Ooh, like, I'm so concerned about that. And me.
No, the concern is this person is coming from another country and you've spent 20 total days with them. Like, yes. That's the concern.
Yes, that's the concern. Exactly. And also, too.
Sorry, your small town is in the 1940s. I'm sorry. You should leave that town.
Yeah, like this is I don't know if you read the book ever in high school. I think it was In the Heat of the Night. Was that what it was called? There was a book.
I didn't read that one.
Yeah. It was a book about it was like basically that was what it was like. And it was very, very stupid. But well, no, the book wasn't stupid. But it's just stupid that that was where society was at one point. But yeah, it's just I agree. That's not the concern also, too. And we saw in the previews and I think that it's a legitimate one is Devar is a guy who has lived his life on a lifeguard salary. OK, he's 28 years old. Melanie is 33. She's a registered nurse. Like she like you said, she's the breadwinner of this pair, this duo. I would be maybe more concerned that Devar is only into Melanie. Oh, well, it's not. Oh, black man, white woman. Oh, you should be so concerned about what the public's going to be saying about you. No, it's not stupid. That's stupid. It's no. You should be concerned that, hey, like maybe this guy only is into you because you're going to be, you know, you have a good job and you're going to be making decent money and he's not. And yes. That maybe is something you should be a little bit concerned about. But that's not really brought up at all here. So I was interested in a little concerned as to why that didn't come up. But maybe Orangeburg, Pennsylvania is more racist than things are in Canada, Haley. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing with this show is I can't tell because, you know, we live in Canada. We live in a country where and I mean, I, you know, I hate, you know, talking about how great our country is. But in bragging about make it sound like I'm bragging. But like we don't have like I mean, there's racism everywhere, but there is nothing compared to the extent of like that would never be a concern. I feel like anywhere in Canada.
Yeah, it wouldn't be anyone's first thought that he's black. It's the amount of time.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be anyone's first thought. It wouldn't be their second thought, their third thought, their fourth thought. I mean, it wouldn't be really a concern unless it was like a really, you know, you lived in a really old school family and you know, it's your grandparents or something that are concerned over that because I think like older generations kind of thought that way. But in Canada, I mean, you know, the last two generations, like our generation, no one gives a shit about that at all. I mean, it's just something that no one cares about. But maybe, you know, and we saw again, like I talked about earlier with Danny and Amy, like Danny's dad was like concerned. He was against an interracial marriage and thought that Danny shouldn't marry a black girl. And, you know, there was that on the show. And then now this season, like people are talking about Devar and Melanie that way. So maybe racism is more prevalent in the United States than I am aware of, but it's just, I don't know. It's either I don't know what is it, Haley? Is it that or is it just that there's just crazy people that are on this show? Is it a little bit of both?
It's probably both. And it makes me sad that that's the focal point of their relationship.
Yeah.
And not that they've only been together 20 days.
Yeah, that's yeah, but hey,
you know what I mean? I feel like there's other things we should be focusing on. What?
10 times longer than
yeah, that's true. That's 10 times. Mark and Nikki. That's our hashtag. 10 times.
10 times. Yeah, absolutely. We probably said 10 times 100 times on this podcast. But yeah. Sorry. yes, you were saying, Haley.
Like that should not be like the focal concern of this relationship. No. Like there's like 15 other things to be concerned about.
Yeah. There's a huge laundry list of things and that is not like that doesn't matter. Like, who cares? Like, this, yeah. So what? His skin color is different. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It has nothing to do with anything. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes when he comes to Pennsylvania. But I even think on the show, I don't think they're really going to encounter that too much unless Melanie's sister raises a fuss over that. And I feel like Melanie's sister is kind of racist based on how she was talking to him earlier. So or when we saw in the preview. So, yeah,
so
maybe
that'll be interesting.
Yeah. a gong show to watch that. Now, the final thing we see of Melanie and Devar for this episode is they're FaceTiming and Melanie's packing to go to Jamaica to pick Devar up. And first of all, I was interested how like they they were able to film, like, they did a really good job. And this is something that the show does really well that I don't know how they do it, is they film like the Skype sessions and like the FaceTimes. Mm-hmm. You can't even really tell that there's a camera filming it. I was like paying attention to this. And, you know, on FaceTime, you have like you're FaceTiming the person, you see their face, and then like the upper right corner, you can see that person.
Yeah.
You couldn't see the camera with when you only saw Melanie in the corner, like she was kind of out of the frame. So I don't really know. I don't know how they filmed that. So anyway, that's just random, but I was just impressed by that. But yeah,
another production choice that I kind of love is we don't get any confessionals from the international person until they arrive.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like we see them talk. We definitely do. But it's only in Skype or FaceTime or whatever. But then they start to get their confessionals when they arrive. And I don't know why, but I like that choice.
Yeah, I think it's a really good move. And I just think it works.
It's probably cheaper for production, too. So they don't have to like fly to Russia and get like.
Yeah, exactly. But it just makes sense, I feel like, because of that. And I think it's cool because it kind of gives you the perspective of the American person and how like their life is and what you think about them. And you can kind of get an idea of them first. And then when the other person comes to the U.S., then you kind of be like, oh, okay, like this is how things are, like with their relationship, that sort of thing. And you kind of then you can kind of get the insight of that person once they're finally here. But yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting. It's unique. It's a subtle thing that the show does, but I really do like it because yeah, they easily could use their confessionals. Or hell, if they didn't want to fly them from Russia, they could be like, oh, okay, well, Devar, well, tell me what you're thinking right now. You're still in Jamaica. Like, walk us through that feeling. They don't even do that when he comes to the U.S. They just don't do that at all. So, yeah, I do think that that's a really cool thing. Yeah. And basically the last thing here is just, you know, Devar says he's nervous to come to the U.S. He's from Jamaica. And Melanie says, yeah, because he's the man of the house. He's lived with two sisters his whole life. And now he's coming to America to live with Melanie and her son on the weekend. So I feel like I feel like Devar is the type of guy, though, that would adjust pretty easily to the U.S. What do you think about that, Haley?
I completely agree. I think the weather is going to be his biggest struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in Pennsylvania, I mean, and I don't know what time of year this was filmed. Probably.
Looks like it's getting kind of fall time for that.
Yeah.
For that, like, what does that look like? Lauren and Alexi looks winter.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with this show is I think they probably only because they can't be filming all six of these people at once. Right. I think over.
No. And it looks like Mark and Nikki are summer.
Summer. Yeah.
We see Mark boat. And his sister go in the boat.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah. So they probably filmed this at different times. So that's a really interesting. That's a good point. And I think that, yeah, that's probably going to be a bit of an adjustment for him. But otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. He seemed to be doing well when he was talking to Hunter. I mean, he was telling him an inappropriate story, it looked like, and Melanie cut him off earlier in the episode, which was pretty funny. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, I think Devar is a chill dude. I think that, yeah, he's going to be I think he's going to cause some drama, which will be fun. But I do think overall he's a nice guy. And I think that nothing will I don't think anything crazy will be happening. Now, before we move on to wrap things up for the episode, talking about Mark and Nikki and the last few scenes with Mark, I did some digging, Haley, and before this podcast, and I found a very racy picture of Melanie and Devar, and it made it onto the internet. And how it made it onto the internet was via Devar's Facebook. Devar's Facebook is wide open. He has not hidden it for whatever reason. I don't know why. But anybody can go on Devar's Facebook. So if you do enough digging, you can find his Facebook. And one of his profile pictures, Haley, was this picture that I'm just sending to you right now. And if you open this up here, did you get it?
Yes, I'm trying to make it bigger.
Yeah, so if
apparently
you zoom
that's
in,
what Melanie's trying to do in this photo too.
Yes, and so basically, what this picture is for you guys listening
isn't this
insane? Yeah, this is an insane picture of Devar and Melanie. I don't know. Maybe this is when she went to go pick him up. Maybe this was before things happened. Before the show happened, I don't know. But This is DeVar. One of his profile pictures from, I believe this was like December 2014. So maybe this is when they were filming, is a picture of him. He's motorboating, Haley, or he's motorboating.
I don't think he's motorboating.
OK, he's just got his mouth around.
It looks like breastfeeding.
Yeah, he's got his mouth around her nipples. And let's zoom in a little bit.
At least
yeah.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah,
that's... if you notice, his thumb is 100% in her bikini bottom.
100%. Yeah, and his thumb is in there. He's got a full grasp of her bikini bottom. It's a very racy photo, and I'm surprised that DeVar and the producers of the show have not been like, "Yo, DeVar, you might want to make your Facebook private so random podcasters in Canada can't get this photo easily." We're glad he did, but this is like the fact that DeVar posted this on Facebook really excites me, because this tells me he has very poor judgment. And despite the fact that I think he's a nice dude, I think he's gonna.
But it also like shows that he's like super into her, right?
It does, right? Because I don't think he would post this on Facebook unless he was super into her. And let me see if I can maybe get on his Facebook, if I can find some Facebook statuses or something of DeVar, because I think that would be really funny. Let me see here. DeVar. I don't know his last name. Okay, I'm gonna have to go through Twitter. I'm gonna do some more digging live as we're doing this here, Haley. But yeah, this is something that you should never put this kind of thing on Facebook. And if you want to see this photo, all you gotta do is let me just make sure I have his name. Okay, so his name is DeVar Walters. So if you go on Facebook, Google, just search DeVar Walters in your little search. There's a picture. It just says right now his picture is of two chickens, and it says, "Dude, that's just wrong." And they're eating. One of them is eating KFC. Very interesting. He updated his profile picture yesterday. But yes,
oh, it comes right up.
It comes right up. Yes, and Haley, I'm sure you can look at this right now. December 12, 2014. So click on his profile picture. Go back like two profile pictures. Not of like so. Don't go the new way. Go like of the old way. So you see his oldest pictures, and you can see this photo of DeVar and Melanie.
Yep, that's there.
And basically all of his pictures, I mean, through August, through everything, there's another one of them kissing. They're all of them together, so he seems to really be into her. Yeah. Which is a good sign.
And I mean if we can do spoiler alert, it says in a relationship with Melanie Bauer since March 2nd, 2014.
Yeah, so I mean, I think they're probably still together here. We don't know. But knowing how careless DeVar was to post something like that on there, I feel like he wouldn't lie about this on his Facebook. So breaking news, Haley, we are we're the reality Steve of 90 Day Fiance. We just spoiled the season by doing our little digging here.
Oh, also I have a Facebook status from her. I went on Melanie's.
Oh, okay. Thing. Okay. Hers is Melanie Bowers. If you guys want to check Melanie's.
Okay, so her Facebook status, setting the record straight. I have shared split custody of my son. I have him 1 week and my ex has him the other week. We switch every Sunday. I am not looking for a father figure for him. He has a dad and a good one. Rather, DeVar will need to know the role. As for my decision with regards to Hunter to bring DeVar here, DeVar and I have spent 76 days together before coming here. That was split over 16 months and 10 trips on my weeks without my son. The editors chose to keep that out. I hope everyone enjoys the show. So I think we kind of said that we figured it wasn't 20 days all at once, but 76 days. That's a lot longer.
That is a lot longer. Wow. There we go. Breaking news. Haley Strong. There we go. Doing some digging, some research. Yeah, I'm on her Facebook page right now as well. And I found it. So yeah, there we go. So 76 days. So that's a little better, right? I mean, split over 16 months. I think that is a lot more acceptable. You know what?
And he comments on all of her like Facebook statuses with like hearts and stuff. So we're sorry if this is a little bit of a spoiler for you, but
yeah. Sorry, guys. But if you're, you know, again, there's probably five people listening to this right now. So if we have five people upset with us and, you know, one of them being your brother and one being my mom, I don't really think that probably my dad's listening to this too. I don't really think that those people would be too upset that we spoiled that there. But yeah, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and add. Oh, I can't add Melanie on Facebook. She got rid of her adding thing.
Life is pain.
You know what? DeVar still has his ad friend thing. And I just sent him a friend request. Boom.
Attaboy.
There we go. So I will
keep me updated.
I will keep you updated, Haley, on if DeVar added me on Facebook, and then I can talk to him like I talked to Jason from season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé. That should be fun. But yeah, anyway, definitely check that out. If you're this far into the podcast, seeing that picture is worth it because it's very racy. I just can't believe that's allowed on
Facebook. And don't be an a-hole and report it.
Don't be that guy. Don't report it
like to my brother and Jordan's mom.
Yeah. Guys, don't report it, please. Like, we want to see this picture. We want this out there. And I think I saw somewhere on Twitter as well. I think I saw some 90 Day Fiancé fan account posted. So hopefully it's out in the interwebs forever and we'll never lose it because it's great. Okay. We'll wrap things up here. We'll talk about the final couple of the episode. And that is Mark and Nikki. So we got a couple scenes from Mark. Mark, he goes on a boat with his sister. She comes over, Mark's sister. Also,
he's wearing just the worst pants I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, that's a I love that you bring that up. I totally forgot about that. But yeah,
how do you forget about them? They're like, okay, for those who did not watch the episode, she is, you know, she's probably in her 50s as well, along with Mark. She is wearing these electric blue leggings with like slits from the thigh to the ankle. Like, they're like probably about 15 slits in these things. They're just like not appropriate for literally anyone of any age.
Well, you know, I think poor judgment runs in the family with Mark, Haley. That's think that fair. all of the Simmons family, I think that they all they do things that probably don't make a lot of sense. But whether that's fashion or whether that's getting engaged to 19-year-olds who are you're 40 years older than. But yeah, so Mary, or MC, I think is what Mark called her, his sister. She says it's Mark's turn for love. And she says, oh, Mark, like, why do you love her? Like, why are you in love with this girl? And he says,
why are you trying to bone a 19-year-old?
Yeah. And he says, well, she's as beautiful on the outside as she is on the inside. Well, so Haley, after 2 days, do you think that he was able to figure that out, that she was as beautiful on the outside as she is on the inside? Because
definitely. He probably gathered a lot from her OkCupid profile.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I think so, too. You can really see from a dating profile how beautiful someone is on the inside. but like, come on. Are you kidding me? Like, that just
this guy is delusional. No, he's delusional and he's insane.
Yeah, honestly, like that, Haley, like, yeah, I agree. Like, some of the things this guy says are completely asinine. And I think what it comes down to is he is just delusional. He's living in his own world, his own bubble, and he just doesn't understand how crazy he is. And he said in a confessional shortly after this, when Mary was talking to him, he said, look, you know, if you can find happiness with a consenting adult, there's no explanation.
Have to call your girlfriend a consenting adult?
Yes.
Like, you know, that's an issue.
Yeah, it's a major issue. It's like you're justifying it to yourself. Like, dude,
it shouldn't even have to be like an adjective to describe your relationship.
No,
like, this is a consenting adult relationship. Are you sure? Because your girlfriend's 19 and you're 58.
I mean, that's
she was able to consent to this relationship. Not totally sure about Philippine laws on this, but probably about 3 years ago. And even then, it would be stat rape. It was stat rape until last year.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think
he is 58.
Yeah. And Haley, I think that's a thing, too. I think that, you know, it was stat rape like a couple of years ago. But it should technically be stat rape if the person is 40 years older than you. I think that should, like, regardless of how old they are, once you hit a certain
age. Unless you're 40 and you're dating an 80-year-old.
Yeah. Then it doesn't count. But if you're under 40 and the person is 40 years older than you, it should count as stat rape, because that's just messed up. That is messed up. A guy that is like, oh my gosh, like 40 years older, like, this is crazy. And then so we see the boat thing like happen, and then at the end of the episode, when the episode ends on this a high point, I guess, Mark chats with his daughter Elise, and Elise comes over, and Elise lives at Mark's house, I think, but
yes,
what's happening?
Her out here? Because he wants privacy, but she's living in the guest house, so it's like she's still on the property.
Yeah,
because she's 21, which is 2 years older than his fiance, his daughter, his youngest child, is 2 years older than his fiance.
Yeah, it's messed up. It's so messed up.
And she's so uncomfortable with this situation.
No, she's very uncomfortable. And the thing I love about Elise is that she's not crazy. She's a normal 21-year-old. I mean, she's kind of got like that. And this is a fashion trend now. Like, people are like dying.
The lavender hair.
Yeah, the lavender hair. Like, that's, she's got that going on. So she's like clearly young. She's clearly more young and hip than I am. But she's awesome. I hope we see more of her on the show, because I kind of have a crush on her. She's not happy with this. She sits Mark down and she's like, this is not good. And Mark's like, well, don't think of her as a stepmom. Think of her as a friend. She's like, she kind of is my stepmom. And, and then they go upstairs. Mark's like, oh, well, and one of these classic natural cuts to a new scene where Mark's like, oh, let's go upstairs and talk, Elise. And she's like, okay. So they just, they get up in the middle of what they're doing. They go upstairs and he's like, oh yeah, this is Nikki's bed. She's going to stay in your old bed. And this is like where she's going to be. And
here's all these old clothes of yours. Can she wear them? Like, no.
Yeah.
Your child bride cannot wear my slutty going out dress.
No, exactly. And Elise is like, no, like, those are my clothes. She says, no way. You can't wear my clothes. And I just found that so ridiculous. And then Mark's just like, why not? Why can't she wear your clothes? And like, just that whole concept.
Because you're a weirdo,
but also it's like, dude, the fact that you're asking your daughter, like, you don't see a problem in you asking your daughter to borrow her clothes so that your potential bride,
child bride,
yeah, like, that is like, like, that's, oh my gosh, this is messed
he's
up.
Like an infuriating individual.
He really is. And, but he's very, his delusions are going to make him very entertaining on the show. I think he's going to be one of those people that I love to hate for how stupid he is. But yeah, there was that. And then also too, Elise, like, they're sitting down and they're talking and she says, hey, like, you know, she's like, what's going on here? Because why did you decide to get married and you decided not to tell any of your kids? And Mark says, I put it on Facebook. So he put it on Facebook, Haley. So clearly that's
not
telling the world.
Telling them, that's different. When are people going to learn that, like, things on Facebook aren't like canon?
Haley, Facebook, he put it on Facebook. It's legit.
Sorry.
He's a 58-year-old man. That's how 58-year-olds get their information out there now, is they put it on Facebook. And have you noticed that? Like, that's actually, I feel like that's like slowly over time. Like, I feel like Facebook has gone in the past like decade, in the past like 10 years, Facebook has gone from like a young person's thing to now it's like a really like old person's thing. Am I crazy saying that? Like, I feel like the most prominent Facebook users are like people that are like over
your aunts and mom.
Yeah. It's like your aunt and your mom. Like, those are the people that are on Facebook all the time. Like, people like our age still use Facebook, but it's not like your primary source of social media consumption. You're going on Twitter or Instagram or like these other things. But whereas for these other people like Mark, who don't know how to use those other things, they're like, ooh, Facebook, it's so amazing. I'm going to use this all the time. This is great. I'm going to post that I got engaged on here so everyone knows. And clearly my kids
engaged to a 12-year-old.
Yeah. And clearly my kids will know if I post on Facebook that I'm engaged. They go on Facebook all the time, so they'll know for a fact that it's legit. Like, no, that's not how it works, dude. That's not how it works.
He sucks so bad.
And then the final line, one of the final things to end the episode, Elise says to Mark, she could be your daughter. And Mark's response to reassure her, Haley, is, she could be my granddaughter.
Oh God. Like, if you are saying that line, shouldn't you know that this is garbage?
Yes. And also too, like, he's trying to reassure Elise in this moment here. And that is not something I would be saying to reassure another person that, no, what I'm doing is right here. Cause, no, she's not, she couldn't be my daughter. She could be my granddaughter, but yeah, it's fine. It's fine. She's a consenting adult, Haley.
Barely.
No, it's this guy's nuts. He's crazy. He's gonna be fun to watch, but also very cringeworthy. And yeah, basically, like, That's it. That was the episode. So we saw, we saw the preview for next week or this season on 90 Day Fiancé. Next week, we have the two new couples added to the mix. And really, there wasn't anything too crazy from this season on. It was just Melody's family talking about, talking about DeVar and like saying like, oh, like you should get a prenup and like all this stuff. And like, oh, Melody's sister saying that she was going to sleep with or, oh, how do you know DeVar's not sleeping with other women and like all this stuff. But there wasn't really anything else too major from the preview, was there, Haley?
Nothing crazy, just a lot of crying.
Yeah, just a lot of crying and Lauren crying, and then Alexandra saying that she's I'm insecure about my past. That
I am a bad person.
Yeah. No, don't listen to his parents. You're not a bad person.
No, you're a great girl. I think she's awesome. But yeah, other than that, we didn't see too much of Mark and Nikki though in this season on, did we?
Probably because there's just like so much S that they're like, no, we can't even just put this in the preview.
No. I guess not. But that's good. I'm glad, because what The Bachelor always does is they like show the best things. They spoil everything that's going to happen. And it's like, oh, OK. Whereas this, I don't think they did that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch that play out. There was also a commercial for the show. Haley, did you see this commercial?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so there was a commercial for the show while it was airing, like talking about next week. And so there was a little bit of next
week. Okay, no, I didn't then.
Okay. And in this commercial, there was one, and the only thing that really stood out to me, it was Fernando, aka Manny from Modern Family, when he's 39 years old, like talking about like the whole cheating thing and like infidelity with Carolina and how like he needs to work on that. There was that. And then there was also Nikki and Mark, and they were like driving in the car. And I guess this was like after he picks her up from the airport. I don't know if there's an airport in Baltimore, probably, but anyway,
there definitely is.
Okay. So the Baltimore airport. I thought maybe it was in DC or something. I wasn't sure. But Anyway, there's picking up from the airport, and Nikki goes to like put her hand on the window of Mark's car, and he says, what are you doing? And she's like, well, and he's like, that's not allowed. You can't do that. Like, he said she can't put her hand on the window of his car. And then so, and it's weird because there was like this dubstep music playing in the background, like to make it seem like really intense, sort of like it was almost as if it was a commercial for like The Real World or The Challenge or something. Like they were using like playing that kind of music, but on TLC. It was actually quite hilarious. But yeah, they were playing that music, trying to make it seem really intense. And then he was like, you can't do that. That's not allowed. And then like there's nothing, like there's like it's like the music's like kind of like it's kind of soft for a sec. And then like the bass just drops, and then she touches her hand on the window again anyway, like clearly disobeying his commands.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. So if you still have it on your PVR, check it out, because I thought it was pretty hilarious. But yeah, so that's what's gonna happen next week with them. I'm sure there's gonna be problems. Mark seems like he's very controlling. He's gonna cause major issues, and there's gonna be a lot of drama. It's gonna be good. This is gonna be a good season. I don't know if it's gonna be as good as season two, but it's going to be a very good season, and I'm very excited to watch this show. We're not gonna be doing a weekly podcast because probably not enough of a demand for it, unless I don't know, somehow somehow more than five people listen to this thing, Haley. But you never know.
I mean, if people really like desperate, we can do like a finale recap.
Yeah. Maybe a finale recap talking about the season and then talking about like the best moments of the season. That actually might be something fun. So I'll pitch that to Rob and Scott and see if they're okay with it, depending on how we do. But yeah, if you did like this podcast, definitely tweet at Rob Sessionino. You know, tell him that there needs to be more 90 Day Fiancé coverage for me and Haley, and that you want to see us do a finale one, and maybe campaign that way to get us to do it. Otherwise, this might be the last 90 Day Fiancé podcast we do for a while, Haley.
But that makes me so sad. Her podcast has lasted longer than some of these relationships, and it's just gonna end.
I know, right? It's crazy. I mean, we're closing in. Honestly, Haley, I should really, we've been talking for we in the pre-show we talked a little bit, so I mean really we've been talking for over 2 hours here. That is long enough for me to propose to you based on the 90 Day Fiancé schedule. So
yeah, 10 times as long.
I know. it's such a shame that we can't even get it. I can't propose to you, and A and B, I can't even do this podcast with you each week. It's disappointing, but hopefully we'll reconvene. We'll get together at the end of this.
And I'm sure we'll both tweet about this.
Too good not to. I'll be tweeting about it tomorrow for sure. Or today when you're probably listening to this, because I'm sure this will probably come out on a Sunday, this podcast. So definitely check out the show. It's great. And if you're listening to this, 1 hour, 56 minutes into this podcast, you're the best. You're awesome. Because I don't think there's going to be too many people left at this point. So if you are listening to this, please seriously tweet Haley and I, let us know that you made it all the way to the end of this show. You can tweet me, find me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Haley is at @HStrong_. Make sure you tweet us with the hashtag for this episode, which I think has to be, what are we going to say? 10 times?
10 times.
Hashtag 10 times. So
10TIMES.
Yes. So tweet us hashtag 10 times. Let us know what you thought about this. And if you're going to watch the show, make sure you tune into this. It's going to be on Sunday nights on TLC at, I believe, 9 PM, 8 PM Central. It's a great show. Check it out and check out season two. It's great. Tweet me if you want a link. I can DM it to you or something like that. And I'll direct you to season two because it is it's phenomenal television. It's the Big Brother Canada 2 of 90 Day Fiance, and you definitely need to check that out if you haven't already. Okay, Haley, thank you so much for joining me today. Really do appreciate it. Let's do it again.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, let's do it again.
We'll find another show that we can only podcast once about because nobody else really wants to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to have a conversation. Yeah. Let's record it.
Let's record it. Let's have a, this is just something that we would normally be talking about on a Saturday. This is like, Eric Stein and I were talking about that this past week. And that's really honestly what this was. So it was great. I was very fun talking to you about this. And definitely next week, tune back into the happy hour. I will be talking some Survivor next week. Have not locked down a guest yet. I've talked to a few people, probably going to be somebody from the Big Brother universe that I'll be speaking with. I've been working on getting a bonus Big Brother podcast for you guys as well for this week. So I might have two podcasts next week. Not 100% sure if I'm going to be able to lock that down yet, but hopefully that'll make up for the fact that the only one podcast I had this week was about a show that nobody is watching and probably wants to watch. So definitely keep your eye out for that. If you want to support the show, make sure you go to robinswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And that way you can subscribe to every single episode of the Reality TV Happy Hour, where we're talking about all these different shows, giving you some bonus content on robinswebsite.com. And make sure you leave a review for the show as well. I'm getting some reviews. Really do appreciate that. So for every review that you leave, every name is going to go into a hat for a Skype call at the end of the season with me. The person that I was supposed to do that with at the end of the Big Brother season has not claimed it yet. And if he does not claim it by the end of the Survivor season, then I'm going to do two. So definitely leave a review if you have not already on iTunes. So again, robinswebsite.com/happyhour for that. And if you just want a normal Skype call with me, if you want to support me, I'm going to be going to the reality rally in spring of 2016. So if you want to support me in raising money for Michelle's Place and breast cancer research, you can also purchase a Skype call with me. All the proceeds go towards Michelle's Place. So for each dollar that you spend, you get 1 minute with me, with a minute of the minimum being $10. So if you donate $10, you get a 10-minute Skype call with me. If you want to, we can talk about anything you want. We can talk about 90 Day Fiance. We talk about Big Brother. Casting for a reality TV show, whatever you want to talk about.
Wait, do I have to pay for this?
You got to donate. You have to donate to cancer research for this, Haley. Yes, absolutely. Okay. But no. For anybody else who wants to do that, no, Haley, you're in. You're
because you didn't warn me about this.
No.
Before our 2 hour. Minute.
Yeah, plot twist. I'll have you now Haley's going to be hanging up on me like Randy Bailey that one time. When and also speaking of Randy Bailey, make sure you check out Randy Bailey on Rob is a Podcast this week. Although I'm sure if you're listening to this, you definitely did listen to that show. Haley, have you listened to it yet?
I loved it. Randy's my boo. If you love that Randy podcast and you want more, we've done about five with him over on our show about The Bachelor. So if you're really desperate, you can go find those.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. Randy is dynamite. He's so funny and he's hilarious. So keep an eye out for that. I was talking to Randy on Facebook last night. He added me on Facebook like over a month ago, and I thought he did it by accident, so I didn't say anything, and I was scared. But then, like, after yesterday, I was like, okay, I'm going to reach out to Randy after being on the podcast because I have an excuse to. And yeah, I talked to him, and he's like very super nice dude, and he might
very
be
nice.
He might be coming to my show too in the off season to just talk about some Survivor stuff. So yeah, definitely check out that Randy podcast. And yeah, so you want to support I got off track there. If you want to support Michelle's place, you want to support me going to Reality Rally, we're raising money. I've actually raised $200 so far, which is amazing. I'm overwhelmed. So for those of you who have donated already, I really do appreciate it. And if you haven't reached out to me yet, I've had people email me. If you haven't reached out to me about your Skype call and you want to claim that, make sure you do so. Just email me. My email is jparhar. That's jparharbbcan@gmail.com. And we'll set that up. And yeah, that'll be great. So,
and how do people donate?
How do people donate? So you can go to realityrally.com. There's no fancy link, and I was going to be tweeting out a link. I have yet to do that. I'll probably do that sometime this weekend, and I'll pin it to the top of my Twitter bio. So if you want to go to realityrally.com, you can do it that way, and you can find it there. But I will probably be tweeting it. By the time you're listening to this podcast, I'll probably have tweeted out a link. So if you just go to my Twitter, @JordanParhar, if you go on the web version of it, not the mobile version, there's like the, you can go to my profile, and there's a pinned tweet at the top. I will make sure that that is the pinned tweet, so that way you can find that easily and donate that way. So again, probably only, you know, I'm only talking about four people right now, but hey, that's for you four listening. If you want to talk to me, mom and dad, if you want to have a Skype call with me outside of our normal dinner conversations, then you know where to find me.
Or if they want to Skype me about 90 Day Fiance, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, your parents.
Yeah, yeah, of course. honestly, yeah, I think my dad might take up that offer because my dad can't get enough of this show. I think my mom loves it and is going to be listening to this podcast, but my dad is like, my dad is so into the show. So I think that he might take you up on that offer, Haley. But no, thank you so much, Haley. I really do appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. Really means a lot. We'll be back next week talking some Survivor, some Big Brother maybe. We'll see what happens. But for Haley Strong, I'm Jordan Parhar. #10 times. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.